I'm Mike.
And I'm Laura.
And you're listening to 10 Years of This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world. Movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week in geek. This week in geek.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I am, of course, TFG1 and Mike. Joining me, Ryan, the uneven flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo, I'm more awake this time. Yay.
Yay. Maybe you won't be slurring your words this time. So we've had a lot of podcasts come out in the last 2.5 days. Nerd News is out on Monday. Mayhem Mike's is out on Monday, as you're hearing this, folks. And our Breaking Bad Season 3 discussion happened yesterday on Sunday, so there's that. We are here, as always, to bring you some cool, nerdy news stories, as always. What do you got for your first story? Because I think we ought to save the trailer stuff to the end.
Wow, fine. Telling me what I can and can't
tell. Well, it's gonna be more of a discussion than anything else, so...
Anyway, it's my first one I wanted to bring up is an article that was on Kotaku that they picked up.
Yeah.
Just talking about that there's 8 states in the U.S. that are looking at passing bills that would essentially force... console manufacturers, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, allow parts for their systems to be readily available to repair people / stores / services.
Right.
The idea being, right now, the repair services use Chinese parts and get them from vendors, usually on eBay. Mm-hmm. Or just wherever it works. And the concept, I mean, the other part of this is, in general, should you have a console that's under warranty, or should you decide to get your console repaired by Microsoft and Nintendo or Sony, they just give you a new console. It is exceptionally rare, / completely unheard of, that you'll get your original console back, at which point you'll generally lose all of the save files or other sort of associated things attached to the console, because of course all the consoles have hard drives now, so there's almost always going to be some of your stuff or info that's stored on it, and you're going to lose that. And as somebody that, you know, went through 5 Xbox 360s, or rather is on my 5th, so I went through 4 of them anyway, you can pull the hard drive off. But when you put on the new one, it and all of your games still aren't registered to that actual console. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pain in the ass to get through. So even on the ones where there's a removable drive, which is not all of them, because now, you know, the internal drive is more common, not to mention it's cheaper for the companies to make it that way. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting. The game industry, of course, is fighting this. They don't want anyone aside from themselves being able to repair, quote-unquote, the consoles. They say it opens things up to piracy, which is interesting, because, I mean, you can already do that. I mean, if you wanted to mod your console, it's not that hard to. I think the best way around piracy is one of the things they've done, which is get rid of the different regions and zones for consoles. I think that helps a lot. And then B would be, you know, the obvious one is make games cheaper / more accessible, which they are not doing, because the Switch, for example, is a great example of that, where their indie games that are a minimum of $10 more than they're available on other services like Steam. And without wanting to give anything away or say too much, that's likely to continue in the future. So stuff like that is going to encourage it. Digital distribution should be bringing the prices down, not up. I mean,
they should, yeah.
It's $89.99 or $79.99 here per console title. Now, I know it's $10 cheaper in the States, so $69 to $79. That's still outrageous. Right now, I can pre-order both Mass Effect Andromeda and Lord of the Rings Shadow of War and pay less than I will for the single game here. And that's digitally, and that's via services that sell Steam keys, which is legal. Mm-hmm. And they're actual copies purchased from the publishers. So that's bad. I mean, the console generation, all of this move towards internet was supposed to bring people and data and everything, just make things more accessible and make things less expensive. It's not. And the other half of this is obviously related to the article, which is, if it's your console, shouldn't you be able to choose who repairs it?
Right.
I understand Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft wanting to do their own, but again, in these days where data is such a big deal,
mm-hmm.
the other side of that too is, again, with the digital possibilities, store saves and that kind of thing on the cloud, then, if you're, you know, or at least allow people the option of doing that. It's not the most optimum, by the way. I much prefer to keep my saves stored on a hard drive, just because if I'm offline or something happens to the cloud service, it's still there. But, I mean, the option should still exist. I mean, we're moving towards the future here in terms of data, distribution, digital services, and that sort of thing.
Well, and the video game industry is basically has always been the slowest industry to upgrade technology. Like, look, they upgrade
music by far.
Okay.
It's worse, but anyway.
But I'm saying music at least you can buy online at a reasonable price. I can go buy a song on iTunes for anywhere from 99 cents to $1.29, or I can buy an album from $6.99 to $14.99 or whatever. You know, it's more video games are readily available on Steam and things like that, but you know what I'm saying is, as far as price, the video game industry has always been in the Stone Age, especially now with the more...
Well, the consoles are way behind.
The consoles are, yes, that's what I'm saying. Not computers, obviously, but console video games have always been stuck in the Stone Age when it comes to price and technology. Look, I get it. Back in 1991, 1992, $200 for a Super Nintendo was steep, but it wasn't as steep as $400 or $500 for an Xbox One or whatever it is. And the thing of it is you're paying, let's say, and I don't know because I don't give a crap about Microsoft and Xbox and all that, so you can correct me here. Let's say Xbox One with a terabyte hard drive or a 500 gig hard drive or whatever the size hard, let's say that's $500-$600, okay? And let's say that doesn't come with any games, right? That's just the system itself.
It depends. I mean, for $300, if you're willing to wait for a sale, you can find an Xbox One in the U.S. As part of a package. Now, in general, you can find them for $300 U.S., without a game or anything. Now, that's come down, too. I mean, the original price was, I think, $400 US.
Yeah. Well, and Xbox and Microsoft and Xbox do have the bundle packages. But the bundle packages, like if they have a specific design... Like, I know a while ago, our good buddy and This Week in Geek co-creator Michael Dodd was all about Batman Arkham City at the time. And back with the 360s, they were doing Arkham City bundles and Arkham City skins where you could buy an Xbox 360 with an Batman Arkham City bundle for like an additional $200. So instead of spending the $300, you'd be spending $500, but it would be an exclusive, you know, thing. And that's the other thing I don't get. And that's one thing Mike loves. He loves his collector's editions of games because he loves to get all the stuff with them. Going back to price of video games, I'm sorry. Even if you're getting a bunch of cool stuff, I cannot justify spending $100 on a video game that I'm playing on my system.
Depends on the package. I'm sorry, I mean, in terms of the collector's editions, like, I've got quite a few that they cost $10 more and come with a decent amount of stuff. I'm fine with that. I agree. I mean, I would, maybe this is the PC gamer in me, but I've had this argument with Andrew before, because he bought Gears of War 3 when it, not Gears of War 3, shit, 4, when it first came out, and he paid the full price, which was $90 for it, and I remember looking at him like he was insane, because, again, you know, for anyone who doesn't know this, the games I play on console are all, at this point, ones that I receive for review. I can't remember the last time I bought a console game. Wow, actually, I really can't. whereas with the PC stuff, yeah, it's so much cheaper. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of pre-ordering, but a lot of sites, Green Man Gaming, for example, offers up really good deals on pre-ordering games. But even post-orders, I mean, you know, one of the best I can remember is still when Tomb Raider came out, the reboot, 3 weeks after it was out, I paid $7.50 for it on Steam because it went on for 75% off. And that doesn't happen all that regularly, but you can generally get something off of it. Some of my other favorites include, I remember getting Bioshock Infinite at launch for $30, and it came with The Darkness 2, also from 2K, and then copies of, I already had them, but anyway, copies of Bioshock 1 and 2. So, stuff like that is...
Yeah, video game sales are fine when Steam puts on a sale, or if GameStop is running a sale after the fact, that's fine. And most people I know, you know...
Yeah, but that are just even after the fact. It's the fact that this stuff comes out, it stays at, you know, $89.99 Canadian. You can go to EB or GameStop and get $10 off and buy a used copy, yip-de-doo. Or, you know, if you're me, I don't remember the last time I paid $40 for a game. I mean, you know, after tax, probably. It's happened a couple times, but if I were to flip through my gigantic library on this thing. But yeah, I can't remember the last time. I mean, XCOM 2, another game I loved, paid $34.
Yeah.
And that was at launch. So, I don't know. It's
and
just
personally,
one of those things.
Personally, but I think when it comes to... I know download space is a premium on consoles.
Yeah, it's the other problem.
I understand that, but unless you're going out and physically getting an exclusive collector's edition bundle thing for the game, if you're just buying the game, I understand the video game companies have to make their money back, but you would think for a digital-only basic game, like, okay, I'm trying to think, what's the, give me the name of whatever the most recent big, what is it? Horizon Zero or whatever I've been seeing people talk about.
Horizon Zero Dawn, or you could use Zelda or whatever. But
anyway. All right, I don't want to use Zelda because Nintendo's a little different. When it comes to Microsoft and Sony, when it comes to PlayStation and Xbox, Horizon Zero or Metal Gear Solid 7 or whatever, you know, if you just want the basic, the full game that they come out with, not anything extra. Because you get into the extras, there's a whole downloadable content, you know, DLC stuff later. But just the basic game that you would go into a store and pay $60 for, if it's just digital on your console, you'd think that they would knock $20 off.
Yeah, they generally don't.
Yeah, I know they generally don't. That's my point. Yeah. You would think if you're buying the game digitally, it would be a little bit cheaper because you're not actually going out to the store, wasting gas to go to the store and come home to buy a $60 game that you're going to probably play for 6 months to a year and then never play again. I know there are a lot of games out there that everybody plays now that they play over and over and over and over and over again. But some games, once you play them and you beat them, it's very rare that you go back to them. Unless it's been like a couple of years. You know, you're not going to go play Super Mario Sunshine. I'm sorry, that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Or Super Mario, whatever the latest... Not the Mario Maker. What was the other one? Oh, God. It just came out. Super Mario 3D Land. That's what it was. Or 3D World or whatever. It was the upgraded version. I don't remember. I'm old, damn it. You know, you're only going to play that game at least once when you first get it. You're going to play it for as long as you want to play it. Once you beat it, you're going to move on to something else.
I think the Mario games have more of a pick-up-and-play element than most, though. Like, if
well, yes, but...
levels and you can just skip to it. I think the better example is something like Zelda, a game that I reviewed insanely positively, mm-hmm. but am I ever going to play through it again? At least not for a few years.
That's what you I'm know, saying, like, yeah.
My previous favorite Zelda games, Wind Waker or Ocarina of Time, or even the
Link to the Past,
top-down ones on the 3DS...
Mm-hmm.
I will play them, but it's once every few years.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is an element of that, you know, would I pay $90 for Gears of War 4, which is a solid game, but it's not great, and it doesn't have a whole lot of longevity either, because the online component's going to die out fairly rapidly, essentially as soon as the next big online game comes along. But yeah. This is severely off the main topic, which is whether or not they should allow parts to be sold. In the end, getting back to it, I definitely think Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo should allow it to be sold, the components. And they should be allowable to be sold to the people as well, in my opinion, because to be blunt, consoles are being built more and more cheaply. The Switch is a great example with... people receiving units that had dead pixels, which is something that's not fixable, but, you know, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
Or their piece of crap, the stands for them, which are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the 360 is kind of the king of all examples where they really should have... Well, I mean, they shouldn't have released it in the state they did. They knew it was a problem. They didn't do anything about it. It cost them. But we're seeing more and more, especially the first generation of consoles upon release, have some type of hardware issues, and it would be nice if people had more options with regards to getting it repaired versus being forced to lose their data and things that they've worked for on the system. And opposite side of that, do not buy first generation consoles.
No.
There's almost always some issue or something that doesn't get tested, or also sometimes it's just a matter of time. I mean, they crank these things out the door as quickly as they can. There's no way of knowing if there's some sort of problem that's going to arise after a year.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yes, absolutely. My first story has to do with the penguin, a giant elephant, Tim Burton, and Walt Disney. Oh my god. So apparently Tim Burton is going to be doing the live-action adaptation of Disney's classic favorite elephant tale, Dumbo. And the penguin from Batman Returns, Danny DeVito, is in talks to join the movie. I find this hilarious. And I'm really surprised that I'm stealing your joke here, because it was my joke first. I'm really surprised Johnny Depp is nowhere near this film yet, because Johnny Depp, that's all he ever does is work with Tim Burton. Half the time. So yeah, Danny DeVito in Dumbo. We don't know exactly who he's going to play. You know, production start is not even begun yet, but apparently he's in talks to Danny. These Disney live action things. Oh my god.
Yeah, we hinted at it last week, but having said that, I mean, Now, granted, they've always had a live-action component to them, but, for example, Kong's Colossal opening weekend. I mean, Kong could very well be a Disney-esque film in terms of theme and in terms of sort of the feeling from it. Obviously not, you know... Disney probably doesn't have their animals smacking people around and that kind of thing too often, but... yeah, it's sort of similar. So I think there's a market for it, and obviously Jungle Book did really well.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
I'm just saying, I've been...
Big release was Kong, last week's was Logan. We had Get Out before then, which, by the way, three good movies in a row there.
In March is unheard of.
Yeah, it's weird. We had John Wick, which was solid. Lego Batman movie was fun. It wasn't amazing, but
it was cool. Better than the original, in my opinion.
Wow, the original Batman movie? Ouch.
No! So, the original Lego movie!
But
okay, well, if you really want to say it was better than the original Batman movie, yes, it was better than 1966 Batman.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Slightly fewer shark attacks.
Oh, good! Thank you for bringing that up, because I dumped one story, and I'm going to bring up another one. And it ironically has to do with sharks. We so did not plan this, folks. But apparently, according to 7 News Boston, more great white sharks appear off the Cape. Cape Cod. This is interesting to me. Part of the article here says, the latest data from a multi-year study of the ocean's predators found that the number of sharks in waters off the vacation haven appears to be on the rise, since said Greg Scornell, senior scientist with the Massachusetts Division of Marine and Fisheries and the state's top shark expert. But that's no reason to cancel a vacation to the Cape. The sharks are after seals, not humans, and towns using... the information from the study to keep it that way. So,
there's lots of good reasons to cancel your vacation anywhere near Boston.
Hey!
The people.
Hey!
Number one. After that, I mean, really.
Wow.
I don't really need anymore. What?
Wow! This coming from Canada. Okay.
What? Apparently, maybe they have a. Maybe the sharks developed a taste for mass holes.
Oh, God. Okay. Wow, dude. Just wow. It says more than half of the white sharks spotted last summer hadn't previously been documented by the study. So that's interesting that they... Oh, God. This has gone into it.
Are you sure they weren't just seeing crackers in their chowder?
Okay, this is really spun out of control here, folks, but undocumented sharks, they're illegal immigrants. Donald Trump is going to deport them. Oh, my God. Anyway. Okay. I think we're going to have to take a break so I can recover from this. Holy crap.
The gods gave us many gifts. One day you'll know them all. This is where we keep them.
It's beautiful. Who would wield it?
Only the fiercest among us even could. And that is not you, Diana. You will train her harder than any Amazon before her. 5 times harder. 10 times harder.
Never let your guard down. You expect the battle to be fair!
Until she is better than even you. But she must never know the truth about what she is.
What is this place? Who are you?
It is our sacred duty to defend the world.
Right. Whoever you are in more danger than you think.
Be careful, Diana.
If no one else will defend the world, then I must.
Welcome to jolly old London.
It's hideous.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. Step back. Or maybe not. Is there anything else you want to show me?
Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta.
In the name of all that is good, your wrath upon this world is over.
Yep, that's not gonna work. Please put the sword down.
It doesn't go with the outfit.
At all.
All right, folks, we are back here on Nerd News Network, and yes, the final story is Ryan's, and it is all about the Wonder Woman Origins trailer. Wow. DC actually made a good movie.
Well, it's not out yet. We might want to wait for
it. No, it's not out yet, but every trailer I've seen for Wonder Woman, it makes the film look pretty damn good.
Yeah, they've strung together decent trailers and burned us before. That's true.
The
trailers so far look really good. The two large ones. This was the first origin trailer. We see an awful lot more of Diana as a child. As well as her training and that sort of thing before she gets visited by Steve Trevor. And yeah, it does look really good. So, couple of notes. I mean, there's no I mentioned this, but I mean, there's no mention of whether or not she's made out of clay in this version. Sadly, I'm 100% serious, because I mean, that is her origin. I suspect that will not be the film origin, which is fine with me. I'm okay if they change that, since I'm not sure non-comic book audiences are gonna watch that and not gonna go, wow, this is really stupid.
You could say she might have had a clay face.
That was terrible, even by my standards.
Oh, come on now!
No, that was awful. It doesn't even have anything to do... Anyway.
It's a DC reference. It's more a Batman reference than anything else, but it's a DC reference. I stand by that joke.
Yeah, you really shouldn't. Couple notes. I mean, I should have mentioned this with the initial trailer way back when, but I don't think I did any shows around when that came out. So
no, we weren't doing shows around.
Yeah, one thing I like is Gal Gadot in this doesn't cover up her accent at all.
Mm.
It would have been easy for them to... I mean, in the past, Diana's had an American accent, or at the very least sounds American. It would have been easy for them to ask her to sort of speak that way, in which case, it's always mixed results. You know, I love Benedict Cumberbatch, for example, but he's been asked to do so many different accents over the years. His absolute worst, by the way, his Bostonian accent, because that was awful. So anyway.
Which movie was that in?
Oh, jeez, I don't remember.
Well, you're supposed to remember these things, because the only thing I've seen him in is Star Trek, so...
Benedict Cumberbatch? He's done about 100... whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the movie looks good. I like Gal Gadot in it so far.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that she comes from someplace else and doesn't just sort of sound American, I think makes sense. It's everything about it looks good. This combined with the previous trailers definitely have me feeling good about this movie. Now, we'll see if it lives up to it, because probably the biggest thing that's hurt Suicide Squad and Dawn of Justice is really poor editing. And there's a couple of really good YouTube channels, including one, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it is, but anyway, they went into both films and did sort of a shot-by-shot examination of some of the issues.
Well, Suicide Squad is just a horrible story. I mean, yeah, there's bad editing in it, but it's just a horrible story.
It's hurt really badly, too, because of the... The editing hurts the story. Things are moved around and things are taken out of context / the position they were supposed to be in. I do tend to agree that I don't think if you would put everything together it would necessarily be perfectly done. But yeah, it would have been better. And then the bad editing in Dawn of Justice is mainly around the position, as in the physical position of the characters, which tends to shift shot from shot sometimes, other times doesn't make sense. So there are minor sort of technical things that can sink a movie. And, you know, everything I've seen, though, in the trailers, it looks really good and really, really well shot. So, yeah, I have high hopes for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that I like about the Wonder Woman trailers that we've seen to this point, at least the two big ones, is that we are seeing more of where she came from in the trailers, kind of reminding all of us comic book fans of, even though we know her origin, but some of us that may not have read Wonder Woman recently or anything like that, it's reminding us of her origin without... Now, I don't know how much of this movie is actually going to be her origin. Like, you know how every Batman movie has to have part of the origin story. Obviously, 89 was a weird retelling of the Wayne's death and everything like that. But it's so I'm hoping that the Wonder Woman movie is maybe the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe. I don't know. It could be origin and the rest, you know, kind of flows into whatever the story is going to be. And what I also enjoy about these trailers is that we don't know, other than the fact that she's fighting, we don't know who, at least I don't, because I have not read any news articles about who the villain is going to be in the film. I don't want to know. But I like that the trailers are not showing us, right away at least, a big bad.
I'm pulling for Hitler, so, as the main villain.
I would assume, since it's that time period, and it's Steve Trevor, and it's 42 and all, I would assume that's, you know...
Yeah, they'll have some analogy for him, but he probably won't actually be. Same thing that they've done with the Justice League animated series and some of the others, because including him is probably not, you know, doesn't usually go over well in PG-13 or lower films.
Yeah, you can replace him with the Red Skull and have him on ice, but, you know, there is that. But no, I'm very excited for Wonder Woman. I think it's going to be a really cool film. I'm glad that she has finally gotten her own film, because the last time, not counting animated stuff, the last time Wonder Woman was on any kind of media in live-action form was Linda Carter in the 77 series. So,
not only that, but I mean, in the interim, we've heard a lot about, and I think it's people who are idiots, saying things that, you know, they can't do it or they couldn't figure out a way to make it work, which is silly to me. Because, I mean, even if you were to just copy the excellent animated film, that's really all you need. And the animated film actually did have the made of clay / sand storyline, which, yeah, it was silly, but the rest of the movie worked really well. It was just fun and well done. So... it may not be, you know, as big a hit or that kind of thing for the non-comic book public, but to just say you can't do it or that it's too hard to translate her, to me, was always really silly.
Absolutely. Abso-friggin-lutely. All right. Anything else we want to talk about today?
No.
No? Okay. Wow. Well, that went flat, didn't it, folks? This is getting
expensive. There's always things I want to talk about. It's just a matter of whether or not it's pertinent or useful. And there's not a whole lot. I mean, you brought up the existence of Cable in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, well, Deadpool brought it up at the end of Deadpool 1, so...
Yeah, but CBR had the recent article. Now, having said that, I don't want to talk too much about the article.
No, it's more of a... Yeah.
It's also kind of spoilers for Logan. But it's interesting that, yeah, there's ways... People, if you haven't seen it already, go out and see Logan. It's really good. But the... Yeah, he ties in, or at least there's the possibility of tying him in even better to the X-Men universe, or whatever you want to call this sort of conjoined universe. Having said that, though, the one thing I don't like about the article, it doesn't point out the fact that, to be blunt, tying in a Deadpool movie with Logan, I'm not sure works really well, because there's a major tonal difference.
Yeah.
So if you have Cable as sort of the same character, you know, in the movie he's probably going to be the straight man to Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool's, you know, wackiness, that kind of thing. I just don't know if it fits if you try to bring that together with the insanely dark, depressing themes of Logan.
Yeah, no. I don't know. It's one of the reasons why I kind of dropped it a little bit was because after looking... I love comic book resources for some of their information, but some of their articles, and I'm not specifically saying any of their people, but just some of the stuff that they come out with, it ends up being more speculation. And like, I thought this was going to be part of the article is a slight history of Cable, but the rest of it is, like you said, it's pretty much spoilers for Logan.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's what we do as nerds in general, is speculate. I mean, we're speculating about Wonder Woman being good and that kind of thing at this point. We speculate about Transformers The Last Knight being awful. And then remember...
Oh, Michael, can we please talk about that?
And then remember Michael Bay's doing it, so the possibilities of it actually being good are somewhat...
Have you seen the Kids' Choice Awards trailer for Last Knight?
I have it on in the background at the moment, and I just...
Okay, so one of my buddies, I've known him for a while now, it's Optobotomus on YouTube. His Facebook page, he posted, here's the Transformers 5 KCA trailer, thoughts anyone? And I commented after I watched it, and I said, this is the crappiest editing job I have ever seen in my entire life for a trailer. Because what they essentially, and this is, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I watched this, I'm like, all is they did was they threw a little girl in there, basically to have her in the foreground and have the actual trailer footage in the background. I'm like, I get it, it's a Kids' Choice Awards trailer, and you have to put a kid in there somewhere, but it just, it looks so friggin' fake and edited horribly together.
I mean, to be fair, his films are edited exceptionally poorly.
Yes. I mean,
many of the issues with 4 were... There are some just ridiculously bad editing issues with it. My personal favorite is all of the green screens because they forgot or couldn't be bothered to actually take them out. You can see them in a number of different shots. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the whole night to day thing, which is in all of Bay's movies, where it goes from night to day to night to day repeatedly. Because again, he doesn't care about continuity or anything. But anyway, yeah, that's a problem. I can't remember. At some point on some podcast, I talked about this, but the fact that the main female protagonist in this film is underage and this is a Bay movie really creeps the shit out of me. This is Michael Bay we're talking about, so the chances of her like not running around
half naked
and the camera being shoved up her ass on every
angle,
that's really creepy. I can't remember her age when they started filming, but yeah, she's underage and ew. I mean, there's nothing about this movie. Alright, I know the Transformers series is not for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from a very large Transformers fan here. Oh, yeah, he's a huge Transformers fan, but the live-action films are not for him.
No, these are not for me. I mean,
yeah, obviously.
So, you know, it's kind of stupid for me to constantly kind of shit on it, and I really try not to, but there's some stuff in this that really bugs me. Like,
well,
that is one of them, is the Isabella Monet
Yeah.
She's 16 years old. Or, sorry, she's 15 now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, Michael Bay. Talk about robbing the cradle, dude.
I could be totally wrong, and I hope I am.
Yeah.
But I'm giving... The problem is he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt with any of his other films and the way he treats women in them.
Very true.
Ugh.
Okay, so I'm going to go back really quickly to my comments on this. My very first comment was, and I was being kind of sarcastic about this, I've seen 15-year-olds on YouTube compile footage better for actually fake trailers than this real trailer. This looks even more creepy than they normally are. Because after watching this trailer, I wasn't even I was more creeped out of the way the scenes are cut together and the way it seems like they superimposed this kid on this. It's like she's part of a pop-up book. And oh, she's existing outside. I know it's not super.
I would assume it's just early sort of effects reel slash generation, or it's part of the problem with transferring something that's meant to be watched in IMAX 3D down to a commercial level on television during an awards show where your compression is going to mess things up. That's what I assume anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe the film just looks like ass. I mean, that's happened before, too. But in general, true. I mean, one thing is the Transformers movies, the effects have generally looked really good. Now, the filming, not so much, just because they tend to use really quick cuts and close-in sort of things. But the effects themselves, when you actually see everything, are generally well done. So I would assume it'll look better on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hope. Because from what I've seen of The Last Knight, it's no Knights of the Round Table. So anyway, that's going to do it for us here on Nerd News. I hope whomever commented on episode 4... I assume calling me a mouth breather. I hope I didn't breathe too heavily this time.
Actually, sorry.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Next week, I think Mike Dodd is going to have a segment in the show reviewing something. I forget what he said he wanted to review, but I think Mike is going to... We're going to do a pre-recorded thing for next week, so that'll be that. And come back and join Ryan and I for more nerd news next week. Hopefully, there'll be something big broken between now and then, because... Again, it seemed like, I mean, I found stories this week, but like nothing earth-shattering. Again, this is only, you know, this is only the beginning half of March. So, I don't know.
And to be fair, there have been a lot of really good nerdy movies so far. I mean, Kong, at its essence, is kind of nerdy. Logan, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, folks, where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat.
I am at TFG and Mike. You can follow at This Week in Geek for all the other Twig updates. You can head on over to thisweekingeek.net and check out all of our other content as well. Our good buddy, who still has yet to make his first appearance on Nerd News, or second appearance. I forget if he already made one or not.
Nope.
He hasn't. Okay, good. So you know who I'm talking about then. Randrew over there. Oh, yeah, he was on 10 Years of Twig. That's what it was. Ever since then, he, you know, I don't know what he's doing. But he wrote up an article, wrote up a review of Iron Fist Season 1. So you can check that out on Twig as well. I don't know. Iron Fist, I'll give it a shot. I, unlike most people, enjoyed Luke Cage. Everybody seems to hate the Luke Cage series.
I liked it quite a bit. Thought it was really, really well done.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because I've been liking them all at this point. I was very hesitant with Jessica Jones. I did not jump on that bandwagon right away, and I actually watched Luke Cage before Jessica Jones, but I've since gone back and watched Jessica Jones, and that first season was damn good.
It's funny because as much as I love The Punisher, I'd argue that Daredevil Season 2 has been the weakest one so far.
Now, outside of the Punisher episodes, yeah.
Yeah, because the Black Sky stuff was just not compelling, which is weird because I loved Elodie Young as Elektra. I thought she had really good chemistry with Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock, Daredevil. I thought that dynamic worked really well, but the Black Sky stuff just really fell flat and just... It didn't... I know part of it's because that hole in New York is a big deal in the Defenders.
Yeah.
Or possibly in Iron Fist. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but... I know they were saving that, but I mean, the fact that it kind of didn't go anywhere hurt. And, it didn't work that well. And then you had all the stuff with the Punisher, which surprisingly worked insanely well. I mean, for a guy who live action wise has had some, you know, pretty big misses over the years.
Yes, he has.
Oh, yeah, it hasn't been very good. And then, you know, Fox tried a TV series with him as well that really never got past the pilot project. And, yeah, that was the part of the season that worked really well. It's just odd. Yeah, I don't know. That was a weird season.
Yeah, very, very weird. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. Join us next time on Nerd News Network. And we will catch you in a bit. One note, the topic show has been delayed. 1992, where the hell were you? Because nobody really responded. And you're going to be out of town during part of when we were going to record that. So, no, it's all right. It's not your fault. so the first new topic show of Twig 2017 will be happening in April. It's going to be Where Were You in 1992? Basically, 2017, it's 25 years later. So 25 years ago, where were you? We're all going to, you know, gather around the microphones and tell how old we were and where we were living and what we were watching or listening to or that kind of stuff and just kind of have a nostalgic time travel trip. I don't think all of us are going to be able to fit in the DeLorean, so we may have to get into a stupid police box, but whatever.
You mean way better police books?
No, not at all.
I was 12.
Oh, God, we're the same age. Holy shit. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. I'll see you next time here on Nerd News Network on This Week in Geek.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved it.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with steak.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other Twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like down. To see a cat on Tourette's.
It's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.